Daf Yod Dalet from the Mishnah. Beshamei Omrim Tavlin Idochin B'Modoch Shel Eitz. That if you want to grind your spices on Yontif, then you, in other words, you don't use the normal thing. You do a sort of a shinoi. Yeah, so you use a wooden grinder. So the stone grinder is the normal way to do it. Sorry?
The mortar and pestle.
The mortar and pestle.
The mortar and pestle.
So the mortar and I don't know what that is, but the normal thing is a modak shalav on him. The stone smasher. Yeah, but in order to make a shinoi, so if it's spices, you use a wooden one. V'hamelach, if you have to grind salt, you don't really grind salt, you get a clump of salt out of the ocean and you want to break it up, so you use a pach over eitz pod haporor. So you have, there's a pach, which is a kind of a jug which they...
Pach shemen achat.
I don't know what a pach means, yeah, but it was made out of... made out of cheres or something, of clay, and you use a thing called Eitz HaPorur, which is a big spoon that you sort of smash it with, and it's a shinoi. The whole idea is that you don't use the normal way you do it during the week. Besilul Emrim, Tavlin Nidochen Kedarkon, B'Modah Shel Evin. Besilul is more lenient and says that if it's Tavlin, so Tavlin are condiments you put into your cooking, yeah? So that you can do it mamish normal with a stone. What did you call it? A mortar and pestle.
It's what the chemist has about sometimes. You know, we've got a sort of thing in a beater.
Oh yeah? Okay. What the chemist have? All right. Vahamelach b'modashal eitz, and the salt can be, salt should have a shinui, and you use a wooden one. Says Rashi, top of the page there, Mishneh modoich is a buchna. That's the word buchna, which is used for this thing that you use for cutting things, grinding things up, declumping. So makin boy kedarko, you smash it in the normal manner. If it ain't sarich shinui, doesn't need a shinui. That's with tavlin. Avo b'melach with salt. Memokim sheyesh melach gasa b'pasha cheres. If you have a thick clump of salt in you have it in a clay jug, yedichenu, then that's you smash it inside there. Well, leiv meducha, not in the actual grinder or whatever it's called. Oibe eitz poror was a kafka derlis akari in puki. It's a big spoon. The melach boy shinui, because salt needs to be done in a completely different manner. So you don't even use a grinder method of anything. You have to use this spoon thing. The Gemara first time, the Gemara explains what this is all about. Hamelach, so Beis Hillel said, a melach is b'modah shel eitz. Shinui boy, yavasagi b'hai shinui zuta. Beis Hillel say that salt, Beis Hillel agree, needs to be done with a shinui. But a small shinui is good enough. So you can use a modach, but it has to be wooden and not stone. Okay, says the Gemara. So therefore, the upshot of the whole thing is that the spices don't need a shinui, and salt does. So the Gemara,
everybody
says salt needs. The question is, how big is shinui? Basila say a small shinui, and Bishama say a big shinui. Says the Gemara, the kula almas miyas melach boy shinui. Everyone agrees that breaking up a clump of salt has to be done with a different way that you do it during the week. My timer, what's the reason? Is Rav Huna v'Rav Chizda Chan Amar Kola Kadevus Kula on Shrichas Melach. Because all dishes need salt. Whatever you cook, you need to put salt in it. And therefore, he knew about it yesterday. He knew that when he was going to cook on Yom Tov, he's going to need salt. He should have prepared the salt from yesterday. So we say, you can't just do the salt in a normal manner today. If you didn't prepare yesterday, you have to make a shinui. But ein kolak adev esrichas tavlin. Not everything that you cook needs a particular spice. And therefore, he legitimately could say that yesterday he didn't know that he needed it. So you can't blame him for not preparing it. Salt you would know, because no matter what you're cooking, you need salt. So therefore, he should have no excuse for not doing it yesterday. So therefore, we say, no, you've got to make a shinui. But other spices... depends on what you're cooking. If you're cooking different things, you need different spices. So you can't blame somebody if he didn't know what he was going to cook for not preparing it from yesterday. So that's what one of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda said. V'chad Omar, the other one says, Kol ha-tavlin mefigin tamon. All other spices, kol ha-spices, if you do it from yesterday, if you prepared it, if you chopped it up and ground it up yesterday, by the time you get to today, it's going to lose some flavor because it's not fresh anymore. And therefore, you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov without any shinui. But melach, einu mefigat taima. Yeah, halayla azeh, melach is different because when you chop up salt, it doesn't change its taste. It's not going to go off one day later and lose its potency. And therefore, you should have done it yesterday. Yeah, so it's all about what you could have done yesterday. Yeah, so they both agree that that's the concept. The question is, why should you have done it yesterday? So one opinion is you should have done it yesterday because you knew you needed salt yesterday and didn't know you needed the tavlin yesterday. And the other opinion is because the tavlin you couldn't do yesterday because it would lose its taste and the salt would not lose its taste. My benayu, what's going to be a practical difference? In what case will there be a difference in halacha depending on which of the two reasons? As Ike benayu, the difference will be the yada my kadera boy, livshuli, when he knew what he was going to cook. Is if he knew what he was going to cook, because according to the first opinion, that means even if it was tavlin, since he knew what he was going to cook, he knew which spices he needed. So he should have done it yesterday, therefore even tavlin would need a shinui. But according to the guy who says it's because it's going to lose its taste, so even though you knew you were making it, but you still couldn't prepare it Erev Yom Tov because it would have lost its flavor. So that's one difference. Inami b'mayrika. Or the other difference is...
Saffron.
Is what is it called?
Saffron.
Saffron. How does Marika get to be saffron? So the difference is that saffron is karkum, he says. It actually won't lose its flavor. So therefore, according to the one who says the problem is it'll lose its flavor, this one won't lose its flavor, so he should have done it yesterday. And the one who says that it's because he didn't know, he can say, I still didn't know that he needed it. Okay. Let's say the Rashi up to there, beginning of the Gemara. Second narrow line of the Rashi. Kala kaderis means komine tafshul. Kadera literally means all the pots, but it means whatever you're cooking, any type of dish that you're cooking in a pot, tzrichas melach, you always have to put salt in it. There's nothing you can make that doesn't need salt. Hilkach, may esmal have a yada di boile leducha. Therefore, yesterday he knew that he needed it, and therefore he should have prepared it yesterday. So when he comes to do it on Yom Tov, we tell him he has to make a shinui. But ain kala kaderis tzrichas tavlin, va'oda many a day, ma yale beliba lechel amachar. A person wakes up in the morning, he doesn't know what he's going to want to eat tomorrow. Yeah, sometimes, you know, yesterday, you say, what are you going to want for lunch tomorrow? I don't know, ask me tomorrow. Yeah, so tomorrow, he's got to cook it Yom Tov in the morning, and that's when he'll decide, so he couldn't prepare it yesterday. That was the opinion of one of them, Rav Huna Mechizda, and the other one was that Mefigin Taman, Tavlin will lose their flavor. Mefigin means change, like Memirin time when they change their taste. If he would grind it yesterday, so that would change his taste. How do I know that Mefigin means changing? Because the pasuk that Yirmiyahu says Reicha loy nomer didn't change its smell. Mitargamin and loy pog. It says that it didn't change.
Leper
doesn't change its spots. Yeah, it's interesting that Rashi doesn't bring the pasuk in Chumash for Yofog Liboy, what it says by Yaakov Avinu, which Rashi translates for Yofog Liboy. The Targum there is that he's changed. He didn't believe them, so his opinion was changed to the opposite opinion. Anyway, I'll call upon him. We go on. What was the difference? The difference was the Yada Me Esmo. So the first difference was the Yada Me Esmo Makadera by the Shuli. If he knew yesterday what he wanted, Lalishta Kama by Shinui. Because he knew about it, he should have done it yesterday. Therefore, according to the first opinion, he would have to make a shinui. The Lishna Basra, if the problem is that it's going to change its taste, le boy shinui. Then even if he knew he needed it, he still couldn't have done it yesterday. Inami, or the other difference would be a tavlin shel Mayrika. I don't know, Moroccan tavlin. Ika binayu, that would be a difference. Shayesh kadeira shem tavlin maysoi bekarkim. Bekarkim is this, what do you call it? Saffron. So there are some dishes where the spice you need to put in it is karkum, ve'enim mefik tamay, but karkum will keep its flavor from one day to the next. Im nodach mebayjoyim, even if he had grinded it up yesterday before Yom Tov started, v'hulay hayadeya mayavasha mocher, but he didn't know he was going to cook something that needs karkum tomorrow. Is lishna basra boyshini? According to the second opinion, he should have done it yesterday because it's not going to lose its taste anyway. Lishna kamalay boyshini? According to the first opinion, since he didn't know he was going to need it, therefore he's allowed to do it today without a shinui. Okay, back in the Gemara. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, about the 6th or 7th line in the Gemara. Om Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol hanidoichin nidoichin kedarkon. All of a sudden he comes along and he says that anything that needs to be grinded or declumped can be done in the normal manner that you do it during the week. Vafilo melach, even salt.
Is that arguing with the Mishnah?
Is arguing with the Mishnah? Well, Shmuel's not arguing with the Mishnah. Freda Gemara, how can Shmuel say that you can do even salt without a shinui? V'hamarta melech boy shinui. If you look at our Mishnah, both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel say that salt needs a shinui. They only argue what sort of shinui it needs. So how can Shmuel say it doesn't need a shinui at all? They can't argue with everybody, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. I don't think we ever say Shmuel Talmud Hu Poli, given those.
Hey? Ask the question why. Why Rav Yes and not Shmuel?
Rav was a more Talmud Mufluk of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, maybe.
Unless he wanted to give Shmuel Smicha. He refused to take it.
I don't know if that's the reason. But
I'm just saying.
I think it was not just Rav. Chronologically was close enough, but he was also on his Madrega was considered just about a Tana. I don't think it ever says that about Shmuel. Anyway, so that's not what the Gemara answers over here. The Gemara answers, "Who the Amarki High Tana?" That Shmuel holds like a different Tana. The Tana you learned in a Brisa, Amar Rav Meir. Rav Meir's opinion is like Nechleku b'Shamay b'Silul al ani doichin shari doichin kedarkan u'melach imohen. So the Mishnah says the Machlekes b'Shamay b'Silul is what sort of shina you need. Rav Meir holds that Beshamay and Beis Hillel said everything, nothing needs a shinui, even salt. It doesn't need a shinui. So what's the machoikis? The only question with salt is, so when you do salt together with other things, everyone agrees you can just do it normally. If you've got only salt with nothing else, that's when they argue. Beshamay b'melach, b'pach, v'eitzapor, it's got to be in the jug with this wooden spoony thingy, and also not only that, but only in small quantities that you would need for a roasting, but not for cooking. And Beis Hillel Eimer b'chol davar that you can use anything. If you're saying that you need to do a shinui, then how can you do it b'chol davar? The shinui he agrees with, but he says he doesn't need to be only a small amount for tzali, but it can even be for a kedera. So therefore, where does it work? That means in general, you're saying you could do it kedarka. Yeah, you can do it kedarka, but you can't do it. The argument is only whether you can do it by itself or not. Yeah? So when Shmuel said, and if you do it by itself, then you're shinui. So when Shmuel paskin that salt can be kedarka, he's talking about according to Rav, because he holds like Rav Meir, who says that you can do it kedarka if you do it with other things together.
Well, if you can cook on yontif. What's the big difference about declumping salt?
Because if you could have done it,
that
was the question. That was the Gemara started by timer. Yeah, so it was either because you could have done it yesterday. That's why. Either because you knew about it yesterday.
You could have done yesterday too.
No.
But a turcha, things that are extra bother. If you cook something yesterday, it ain't the same as when you cook it today. It's not fresh.
Why you allow Shechta to behave on Yom Tov to cook it on Yom Tov? Because you shafted yesterday. Because fresh meat is better.
So that's the whole point over here. Could you have done it yesterday or not? So if you hold that, if you did it yesterday, it wouldn't be fresh. Then you taka can do it on Yom Tov. The spices, which wouldn't be fresh, you're going to Yom Tov. Salt is as fresh yesterday as it is today. That's the whole point, yeah?
Well, today the whole thing is overtaken by refrigeration. There's no shafting going on today. There's no. And you can cook before Yom Tov.
What can I say? It's a pity you don't shecht on Yom Tov. We could be at the front here.
You could check with Yontif if you want.
If you want.
Nothing
stopping
you. Huh?
You don't have to. Go check in your backyard if you want.
It's been known to happen. Yeah. Amalei Ravacha Bardala Librei. So Ravacha Bardala said to his son, Ki diyachta, when you're going to. Ki diyachta, I don't know how you say it actually. Huh? Ki daiches, is that what it says there?
Yeah.
Daiches? Well, I don't know.
It's got a comet. It's got a comet.
Whatever it means, when you do declumping, I think I made up that word. When you declump the tavlin, the salt. I mean, atzli atzluye v'doich. Turn the declumper on its side. So even though you're allowed to declump, but make some change and put it on the side so it's not vertical, but just bang it from the side. Rav Sheshes Shama Kal Buchna. Rav Sheshes is walking down the street and he hears the noise of a declumper going. It's Omar. So he says, Hi Lav Megavid de Bisoyhu, that ain't coming from my house because I told everyone not to declump on Yom Tov. Maybe they put it on the side and therefore they could be declumping even in his house. So that's interesting, because Rav Sheshes was blind, so he heard the, so he couldn't see the declumper, but he heard the declumper going. He's got a better sense of hearing, as I'll see in a minute. So they said, maybe, how does Rav Sheshes know it wasn't in his house? Maybe it was in his house and it was sideways. Because the Shomei, the Havet Solo color, he could tell from the sound that it was a clearer note of the sound from the declumper, and therefore he knew it was straight and not sideways. So yeah, so clearly, yes, his sense of hearing was very good. Since he couldn't see, how did he know what they were declumping? Maybe it was tavlin. Salt take, everyone agrees, should have some kind of shinui. But spices, we said, doesn't need a shinui. So maybe that declumper was in Rav Sheshes' house and they were declumping the tavlin. So he answers, Val tavlin, nibuchim and nabuch kalayu. When you grind up, when you declump tavlin, it sounds like a sound of a barking dog. So therefore, Rav Sheshes could hear that it didn't sound like a dog, and therefore it wasn't tavlin, it must have been salt. And he also heard that it was clear, so it must have been straight up, not sideways, so he knew it wasn't in his house.
Can't pull the wool over his eyes, huh?
Sorry?
Can't pull the wool over his eyes.
Well, he was blind, but he could hear. For a sense of hearing, he was able to tell what was going on.
Can't pull the wool over his ears.
Couldn't put the wool over his ears, that's it. Okay, says Rashi. Rashi is Reb Meir Lenechlaku. It's about halfway down. Yeah, Lenechlaku el ladech le'atzma kedarka kishar tavlin. Machlekes is only if you have the salt all by itself, and you want to grind it or declump it by itself, like other spices. So that's what the machlekes is. Beshame say bepachav etz paror. Al yedei shinu, you have to make a change. V'leikedarka, not in the normal way. So that's number one. There's actually 2 points here that is mentioned. One is that it has to be a shinui, and number two is how much can you do. Litzali the hainu davar mu'ad, only the amount you need for roasting, which is a small amount. Besila said bechol davar. So the Gemara asks bechol davar sekadaita. Chafil bedavar sheinitul b'shabbos. You can't use anything, but even something that's muksa, there must be some limitations. So we said not bechol davar, but lichol davar.
They make the chiluki between Sli and Sun because of the, it doesn't need a lot. But what would they do when you need kashin? You need a lot for salting for kashin.
If it's roasted, you don't need to kashin. No, you don't need salt to kashin when it's roasted.
It just drips it. So you need to salt it first.
For kashering.
Then you need a lot of quantity. Not small quantities.
What do you think he's saying the Chaldova?
I don't know. No, maybe you're only allowed to salt to kasher the meat that you're going to roast. You can't kasher it for, if you haven't got the salt, you can't kasher them. If the meat hasn't been kashered, you can't do it on Yom Tov if it's a big amount. Maybe that's not what he's saying. Should have done it yesterday.
So then what? You should have got the salt ready yesterday.
Are you allowed to kash? But you're not allowed to salt the whole animal if you're not going to eat.
Well, that's what we seem to be saying here. Beshama says you're not allowed to. Beshama says I feel the kadera. No, what you're eating, according to Beshama, you can't even cook a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
You cook what you need.
Yeah. So no, you're not even. You can't even make salt for your cooking. If you're cooking a lot. According to Basila, you can make salt as much as you need for your cooking, even if you're cooking a lot. But if you're not cooking it at all, then you also wouldn't be allowed. So.
But would I be allowed to prepare a whole animal, not cook it? I'm talking about salted. Clearly, I'm not going to eat it all today. So I'm preparing it for the yom tov.
Say hoyl.
Why?
No, it has to have tzer chayoyim to say hoyl. You mean mitoich. It has to have a tzer chayoyim. So
which
probably not.
You can't
shecht part of a behemoth.
Exactly. So which shecht you can't.
Can you kasher part of the meat?
If you got problems,
you got to salt
or whatever.
Do you salt part of it?
You only salt half the animal.
You got problems. You got to, if you wait for 24 hours, you got all these issues.
It gets soaked in. You can't salt it anymore.
So
I don't know. Dickstein probably knows. Can you salt half a behemoth at a time and leave the other half for later? Yeah.
Yeah, but how many hours can you leave it? How many hours can you leave without kashering it?
Every piece needs to be kashered completely.
Yeah.
You can't kasher half a piece.
There's no time limit? So if you shecht on Yom Tov, 72 hours. So if you shecht it on Yom Tov, you can kasher the stuff you don't need tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. Says Beis Hillel in the Rashi, the chol dover, afilu l'kadera, even if you need a large amount of salt for your cooking, and they also say you can do it in the normal way. That what he said, you can do it kedarka. That's the way when that's what kedarka means, like everything else. Dumya Deloy Nechlaku Ka'omar. Ah, when he says, what is it? Loy Nechlaku Ella is the same thing as Alma Nechlaku. Yeah, he's just playing with the words here. Alma Nechlaku is the same as Loy Nechlaku. Loy Nechlaku Ala Tavlin Umela Ke'echar. So what does it mean, what Rameir says? That they didn't argue about if you have salt and tavlin together, that you can do it in the normal mortar and pestle. I'm learning. Alma nechleku, when do they argue, is only loduch kedarka al melech with neyatzma. If you've got salt by itself, not together with spices, and you want to grind it, then there's an argument. Shebeshama emrim bepach, which is beshinui, that it has to be a shinui using this spoony thingy. The oid, and a separate chumra also Beshamai has, machmir letzoli v'ledik deira, that only a small amount needed for roasting, not a large amount needed for cooking. And Beisil alem lecholdav v'nidoiches kedarka. Number one, you don't need a shinui. And number two, you can put it for everything. V'lehutzuch lefarish shakrak pirish. He doesn't need to say that it's kedarka, because he'd never said that it can't be kedarka. It can be kedarka whether it's with tavlin or without tavlin. So that's why he only mentions that it can be l'kedera. That's why he says l'chol davar. He doesn't even bother arguing with Beshamai about the fact that it doesn't need a shinui, because mehechateisa. He already said you can do a kedarka in the first in the ratio, yeah, before the nechlekul. So where does he come to say I argue with Beshamai about the amount? Okay, Rav Acha Bardlo said to his son, ki deyachta melach, when you crunch up salt, atzli atzluya v'doich hatte yamaduch al tzidah, lean the thing on its side, the sover kishmul. He held like Shmuel, the Amr Nidoich is Kedarka with Modesh 11, that you can use Taka the stone grinder. Even with the stone grinder, you have to make a little shinui and you put it on sideways. Rav Shesh has heard a Kal Buchda Meduchas Melach. He heard it going, he heard the salt going, and he said, Hi, love me, Gaveda Besoyu, it's not in my house. Yedeyani Shainza Besek Besi, I know it's not in my house. Sharsarti Aleim Loduch with Modesh 11, Beleshinu, because I forbade them to use a stone mortar to grind on Yonta without shinui. How does he know it wasn't a shinui, that it was sideways? The have it solo kole, because the sound was clear. The Ilumake Bahatoya Balachsein. If he put it sideways, he would have been doing it from the side diagonally. Rashi says, and it wouldn't have sounded the same. Maybe they were grinding up spices that don't need a shinui. So he knew that if spices, it would have sounded nebuchim and abech. It would have been barking. With tavlin, it's seeds and they break. When it breaks, it's nishma koyle kemaducha kemenapchim, like it's barking. Croissant in French. Okay. It looks like croissant to me. Maybe because I haven't had breakfast yet. Okay, next. Tana Rabbanon. Back in the Gemara, about 8 lines from the bottom. Tana Rabbanon, ein osim tisni. You're not allowed to make tisni on Yontif, which tisni is, you grind up the wheat, one piece of wheat into four. So it's very fine grinding. So it's a big tircha to do such a fine grinding, to make this tisni, splitting hairs, so splitting wheat, so you cannot do it on Yom Tov. And you can't grind in a grinder. Fred the Gemara Tarti, you said both of these things, it doesn't make sense. First you said you can't do a tisni because it's such a big bother, one into four. That means less bother, you could grind, just not such a tircha yaseira. And the next second you say you can't grind at all. So what's going on here? Answers the Gemara Hachikamar. Ma tam ein oisin tisni. Why can't you make tisni lefi she'ein kochim mateshes? Because you're not allowed to grind. And if you can't grind, you can't make tisni. Freddy Gemara, what sort of thing is that? Velema ein kochim mateshes. Why don't you just say you can't grind, and I would automatically know you can't make tisni, and not that. Not only that, but you can't make anything else either that requires grinding. And for the Gemara, e tani ein kochim mateshes. If it just told me I can't grind in a grinder, Havamina, I would have thought, what do you mean you can't grind in a grinder? You meant I can't use a big grinder. It's only a little one. Aim a sharper dummy. I'd say that's okay. Yeah? Like when the rabbi tells you can't do something, you think, what did he really mean I can't do it? He didn't really mean I can't do it. He meant I can't, you know. So when he says you can't use it, if I told you not to use a grinder on your own, you would mean that you think that you can use a grinder, a small one, not a big one. Kamashvala, that even a small one you can't use. I, Fred the Gemara, maybe I'm right. Vatanya, the Brisa says that ain't kochim mateshes gedolah. The Brisa says takazoi, that a big one you can't use because it's too much effort on Yom Tov. But you can use a small grinder. Yeah, so what are you telling me? The pshat and the brisa is to tell me that even a small one I'm not allowed to use, when this brisa says that a small one I am allowed to use. And for the Gemara, ki amar abaye ki tanya nami masnisa matash gedoyla. The one that says you can't use a grinder, istaka means a big one. Yeah, means a big one. So when it says ain no sin ain coach matash, istaka means a big one. Yeah. Okay, let's say the... Oh, is that 1 minute? No, finish this off. Rava Omar, Loikasha, Rava says, it's not a steer between the two brises. The one brise which says, implies that you can't use a grinder at all. And the other one says that you can use a big one, but not a small one. Says Rava, Loikasha, it's not a problem. Halon v'halahu. It depends where you are. In Bovel, where everybody was big tzaddikim, including the servants and everybody else, so they weren't mezalzel and yontif, so you could let them use a small one, because they understand the difference between a small one and a big one, and they won't come to be mezalzel and yontif. But in Eretz Yisrael, where they had servants who were not so frum, so therefore if you let them use a small grinder, they're going to think, eh, let's just hold yontif business, I can do whatever I want, and therefore they'll be mezalzel and yontif, so they said, no grinders at all, full stop. Rav Papi equal Abay Mar Shmuel. Rav Papi turned up at Shmuel's house. I see Le Daisa. They brought him some Daisa porridge. Veloy Achal. Thank you for these art scroll translations. Veloy Achal, and he wouldn't.
He says Daisa.
Huh?
What?
Art
scroll says Daisa.
Daisa in modern Hebrew, Daisa is porridge.
Yeah.
This isn't modern Hebrew. This is ancient Aramaic.
Yeah.
And even art scroll didn't know what it means.
Yeah, but
how you talking? Oh, right. Doesn't bother him to use all sorts of other saffron and nonsense like that. I see Le Daisa, they brought him Daisa v'layochal, and he wouldn't eat it because he's assumed that it was grinded on Yontif. And he doesn't hold, and he says you're not allowed it, so therefore he doesn't want to use it. Huh?
Ground.
And ground.
That's what this thing of the wheat was. The wheat is, you know, this bits of wheat. What is it? It's actually to make a
to make porridge.
Yeah.
Okay.
They call it grits.
Grits.
If you're good southern United States, that's what grits are. They eat it there.
Right. We're learning a lot of stuff today. Okay. Shkoyach. V'dilma b'matershes ketano of duha. So why was Rav Papi so machmir? Why didn't he assume that they used a small grinder and it was kosher and it was okay to eat it? So the answer is the Gemara. The chazya David dayik tvei. He saw that it was ground up very fine, so he knew it must be a big one. I have a double mit esmal of duha, so maybe they did it yesterday. How does he know it was done today? The chazjid have a kalif tzare. It looked whitish. When you take a grain, when you first peel it, it's white, but then it sits there and it decolors a bit. So he could see it was freshly peeled, so he knew it was today. V'boy seimu, or a different answer, shani b'ma shmul, dika pritis of the avdi. He knew that Shmuel's avodim, Shmuel's servants were a bit too lenient, so he wanted to be a machmer because he thought those guys, they could do anything. Kosher v'yosher. Okay, right. Says the Rashi. Rashi, we're down here. Einois and Tisni. You know what? Okay, you know what? Well, sorry, Rashi. Something happened to me yesterday. I go too slow. What can I do? Says the Mishnah. Habera kidney is beyontif. If someone's selecting the kidneys that he wants on yontif out of the husks, what did you call it yesterday? Yeah. So it's obvious. So it's not Pesach unless he's a Sephardi. Yeah. But he's picking out the kidneys on yontif. B'shami emin beira oichel v'oichel. You choose out the oichel mitoich apsoilus and you eat it straight away. Which is basically the same as the normal thing. That, in other words, there's no leniencies for Beirer on Yontif. It's exactly the same like on Shabbos. You have to take the Oichel Metech Apsoilus and you have to eat it straight away. Bishil Emrim Beirer Kedarkoi. You can check it. You can select it in the whichever way you want. Even if it's Apsoilus Metech Oichel Achayra, that means we'll see in the Gemara. And Becheikoi. And you can put it in your pocket. In other words, I don't have to eat it right away. You can even do it for later. Beknoin of Etamchoi. And you can use these different funneling implements. He'll probably tell me some fancy word for it.
With a funnel, or a large plate.
Avalebe tavla, avalebe nofalebe kavra, not the big plaque thing, and not the sifter and the industrial sieve, because those things that's too much effort. Rabbi Gamliel lemer af mediach v'sholeh. You can also soak it in water and the rubbish floats to the top, and then you skim it off, and you're left with the cholent that you want. Okay, says the Gemara Tanya, you're learning a brisa. Amar Rabbi Gamliel, b'med dvarim amurim, kishoichel meruba al apsoilus. When does he say that you can? When is Beis Hillel saying that you can take the psoilus mitoicha oichel if the psoilus is less? So it's less effort to pick out what's less. Yeah, so you pick out the few bits of psoilus out of the whole oichel, out of the food. Avo psoilus beruba ala oichel, but if there's more,
isn't that baida?
Right. Yeah, but it's yontif, so it's a serich achila. It's oichel nefesh.
Because it's not a lot.
Right? So it's definitely lenient to than Shabbos, that's what we're saying. Yeah? So therefore, Beis Hillel's thing is that what you want to do is the less effort. You're allowed to do it on yontif for food, but you have to do it in a least effort amount of way. And therefore, if there's more oichel than psoilus, the least effort will be to take the psoilus out of the oichel. You have to do what's less effort. Avo psoilus beruba ala oichel, but if it's a case where the psoilus is more than the oichel, so therefore, taking the psoilus out of the oichel is not only that it contradicts the usual boirer, but it's also more effort. Is divrei hakol neitlesa oichel b'niachas psoilus? Everybody agrees you'll have to take the oichel out of the psoilus, not the other way around. Freddy Gemara, what do you mean psoilus meruba la oichel? If psoilus, everyone would have to say that psoilus meruba la oichel. If you have more psoilus than oichel, then it's more effort as well as being psoilus meika man deshari. No one would say that's mutter. So what's Rabbi Gamliel telling us? Yeah, everyone knows that. Even yeah. So he says lai tzricha. No, the chiddush is the nafish betircha vezuta b'shiura. It doesn't mean that there's more psoilus than oichel. What he means is that it's more effort. The psoilus is such that picking it out is harder than removing the oichel. Even though in volume there's more oichel, but in effort there's more psoilus. So therefore, Beis Hillel is telling you have to go by the effort, not by the volume. This package is sold by effort, not by volume. Yeah, so that's how he has to do it. Rabbi Gamliel lemer af medyech v'shoyle tanya amar Rabbi Lazar b'Reb Tzadik kachal yom inhagen shol beis Rabbi Gamliel. This is what they did in Rabbi Gamliel's house. Shem mevi and deli molei adoshim. They brought a bucket full of beans, lentils, umetzifin alav mayim, and they cover it with water to float stuff. V'nimtzo eichel amata pseilus lamayla, and the food is at the bottom, and the pseilus comes to the top. Fred the Gemara Vatanya Ipcha, we have another brice that says Fakir, that the food floats to the top and the rubbish is on the bottom. After the Gemara, like Kasha Haba Afra Haba Gili, depends what sort of rubbish you got. If you got sediment, like offer, like dust, that sinks to the bottom. But if you have the Gili, is the straw type of husky thingo that comes on the outside of a bean, that floats to the top. So either way, it separates off, and you take away the rubbish, and you're left with your cholent beans. Says the Mishnah Vayter, b'shamim yontif alamonis. If you want to send a gift to somebody on yontif, it has to be food which is ready to eat, like mishloach bonos. It has to be edible stuff, not something you're going to put away for tomorrow. You can send, it doesn't have to be ready to eat. It can be even an animal that needs to be shechted, or a bird, bein chayim, bein shchutin, whether it's a live animal or a shechted animal. So that means even though it's not ready to eat, there's some work involved to get it ready to eat, you can still send it to him as a gift on Yom Tov. Mishalchin yenos, shmanim, besoltos, v'kitnios. You can send wine and oil and flour and kitnios of aloi, tavua, but not raw grain. Again, because that needs a lot of effort to prepare. It's not ready to eat. And Rav Shimon matir b'tvor. Rav Shimon permits even raw grain. Because you can grind it up in the small grinder and cook it. Yeah, so it could be used on Yontif, just it's a bit of effort.
You could use it for bread, but you could use it for cooking.
You could use it for cooking, because you can use the small grinder only, not the big grinder. According to the first opinion, you can't use it today because you're not allowed to grind in a big grinder, so you're not going to make any bread out of it. And therefore, it's a toignish and ganz. Okay, says the Gemara, Tani Rav Yechiel, Uvavach liyasena b'shura. When you send your gift, you can't do like Yaakov sent to Esav, Eder, Eder, Levada. He sent a whole bunch of messengers with one gift after another, because a whole lot of people walking along to the guy's house with all this delivery from Kohl's, it looks like a market, like he's taking it to market. Yeah, so therefore you can't do that. Tano, we learned in a brisa, Ein shura p'chusam mishloshim ben yadam, that when we say shura, we mean three people. So you can't send three people with gifts in a row, because that makes it look like you're sort of wholesaling and sending stuff out to market. Boy Ravashi, Tlasa Gavra Vitlasi Mini doesn't mean that one person with the same type of thing. And if you had three different gifts, you could send more than three people altogether, as long as you didn't send three people with the same gift. for the three different gifts?
It's carrying a little bit, so it a little bit of each item.
Is it? Okay, yeah, but is it the three people with three items or three people with one item? Also, no good. My, what's the din? Teiku, this is, we'll leave that for Eliyahu Novi. Rabbi Shimon is matir b'tua. Rabbi Shimon says you can send grain. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon, matir b'tua. Kigain chitim lasis mehen ludiyos. Because with wheat, you can make ludiyos, which is some kind of a wheat dish out of it. And so sa'irim, litan lifnei behemtoi, and barley, you can feed your animal. And adoshim lasis mehen resisim. And lentils, Rashi helpfully tells us, means you can make resisim, which is a food made out of lentils. So it doesn't. So
groats. To make lentil groats.
Rashi didn't know that, so how does he know?
What is
groats? Rashi lo yoda at scroll minayin. Anyway, says the Mishnah Vayter, Mishalchin Kalim, you can send a gift of clothes to a friend on Yontif, bein tefurim, bein shein tefurim, whether it is sewn or even if it's not sewn. Because even though it's not sewn, he can't wear it probably, but he can use it to cover himself with. There's a cloth, yeah? V'yafo, you can to use the cloth to cover things. V'yafo, prisha yeshbem kilayim, even if it's kilayim, you can also send it. V'hein l'tzerech ha-moyed, as long as it's something that is useful for Yomtif, even if you can't wear it. Avaloy sandal ha-mesumar, but you're not allowed to send him a boot which has got hobnailed boot, is that what it's called, with nails in it? Because the ma'aseh shehoyah, like we learned in Shabbos, I don't know if you remember this, we said you're not allowed to wear hobnailed boots on Shabbos. Why? What's hobnailed boots got to do with Shabbos? Because there was a maisa of the people who were hiding in the cave from the Goyim, and they had the hobnailed boots, they couldn't tell if they were coming or going. And they saw the footsteps going, and they thought that the Goyim were coming to get them, and really the Goyim were going away. And so they ran out of the cave, and they got caught and killed and whatever. So they said, no hobnailed boots on Shabbos, even though it had nothing to do with Shabbos, but that was because the story happened on Shabbos. So therefore they said, no hobnailed boots. And therefore, since you can't wear it on Yontif, therefore you can't send it as a gift either. Or a shoe which is not sewn together, which you can't use at all. Rabbi Huda Emer Afle Minel Lava, not a white shoe either, because you need a craftsman to polish it black, because nobody wears white shoes. Zeha Klal, the rule is, anything which can be used on Yom Tov, you can send, and things that are not usable on Yom Tov, you cannot send. I can understand when you send a garment which is sewn up, because you can wear it. And even if it's not sewn up, you can use it to cover yourself, you can cover things with it. What are you going to do with kilayim? It's not useful for anything. You'll tell me you can put it underneath yourself. You're not allowed to put shatnez. It says shatnez is not allowed to be above you. Layala alecha should not go on you. But you're allowed to put it underneath you. So that's min ha-toira. Aval amr chachamim, also lasses came, but the chachamim forbid you from doing this. Shema tichrech le'nim al-besori, because one thread of it might come on top of your flesh, and it'll be on you. And it'll be an issur d'oraisa. You'll tell me that you put it underneath you and put something else in between, so it can't get on top of you, and therefore you could use it on Yom Tov. The holy guys in Yerushalayim, even 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, and underneath all 10 mattresses is kilayim, you cannot sleep on it. So therefore, what can you do with kilayim? What is it useful for, and why is it? Why are you allowed to send it on Yom Tov? Ella emphasizes the Gemara bevila, and you can make it as a curtain, not to put it on you at all, but to hang it as a curtain in the doorway. Freddy Gemara v'yamar ula mipnei ma amru vila in tomei. Why do we say that a curtain is mekabel tuma mipnei shashamish mischamim al kenegdo? It's not considered like the wall of your house. It's not mekabel tuma because the shamish, the servant, when he's cold, he goes over to the curtain and he wraps himself in it to keep warm. Yeah, so therefore, he shouldn't be allowed to make the curtain out of kilayim because the servant will go and wrap himself in it to keep warm, and he's going to end up wearing kilayim. Ela, and for the Gemara, one is kilayim okay, but caution if it's hard. So if it's hard and you sit on it, it can't come up on top of you because it doesn't move. It's hard. V'chi had amar of hunar bed of Yeshua, hai namta de gam the narishaya, this type of garment, a hard shoe of narish, you're allowed to sit on it. Because it's not going to warm you up, because it doesn't go on top of you. Amar Rav Papa, Ardalin, Ein Bahem Mishum Kilayim. Ardalin is, they put something they put underneath the shoe, is also mutter. Amar Rava, Hani Tzrori, the Pshiti, the cloth, the money bag that you wear, is Ein Bahem Mishum Kilayim. There's no problem of Kilayim, because the money makes it hard, so it's not going to twist and come on top of you, the bizrani, but the one that you keep seeds in it, yesh b'mishum kilayim. Since it's soft, if you put it on you, put it underneath you, we could move and come on top of you. Ravashi Omer Echadza Vechadza Eim b'mishum kilayim. Both of them don't have a problem. Kilayim l'fin she'ein derech chiyum b'kach, because that's not the way to keep you warm, and therefore it's okay. Right. So you can send these
what's
things on Yom Tov. Tomorrow's Monday.
I know that. What's regular time?